Welcome to the Six Figure Speaker Spotlight, the podcast where we uncover the secrets of CEOs, entrepreneurs, and visionaries who've used public speaking to skyrocket their businesses and their bottom line. Get ready for captivating stories, valuable insights, and practical wisdom from the trailblazers who've mastered the art of the stage. I'm your host, Kelly O'Hara, and I'm thrilled to bring you their experiences and expertise directly to you. Let's get started. So let's get one thing straight. If you're still trying to grow your business by flying blind with your finances, hoping more sales will somehow fix your cash flow chaos, you're playing a dangerous game. And today, we're going to blow that up. Welcome back to the Six Figure Speaker Spotlight, where we don't sugarcoat the truth about what it really takes to grow a business that lasts. I'm Kelly O'Hara, and this show is all about pulling back the curtain on how public speaking isn't just a platform, it's a profit strategy. I bring you the entrepreneurs who've walked the fire, scaled the walls, and turned their message into serious momentum. And today's guest, she's the financial truth teller your business didn't know it needed. Teresa Wagenseller is not your average CPA. After 30 years in the corporate trenches as a controller and CFO, she took one look at the entrepreneurial space and said, enough with the DIY disasters. Small business owners deserve better. So she walked away from the security of corporate America to launch Higher Up CFO Services, where she brings big league financial strategy to small businesses that are ready to scale smart, not broke and burned out. She's the person founders call when they're stuck, stressed, and sick of watching revenue roll in, only to wonder where all the money went. Teresa's known for simplifying the complex, building clean dashboards, systemizing cash flow, and creating clear data-driven action plans that make profit predictable. She's also handing you something practical today, a simple, powerful spreadsheet that can help you finally get a grip on your cash flow. It's free and it's on her site. We'll talk about that and so much more, including what a CFO really does, why most businesses plateau, and how public speaking helped her connect with the people she's meant to serve. If you've ever felt overwhelmed, stuck, or straight up lost in the numbers, this conversation's about to be your game changer. So let's get into it. I really want to welcome you to the spotlight, Teresa.
Thank you, Kelly. That was a very nice intro. Awesome. I'm excited to be here.
This is going to be great. And you bring great value to the show because you spent three decades climbing the corporate finance ladder. What was the moment that you said, yeah, I'm done? And you pivoted towards like building something of your own?
I think I just decided one day that I was tired of the corporate world. I mean, you get to that point in your life where, I think I've been there, done that. I want to try something different. I want to try something new. And that's when I decided I'm going to start my own business. This is actually my second business that I've owned. I owned one, my first one back in my 20s. I had a tax practice. So I actually came out of school, went into public accounting, specializing in tax, corporate partnership taxation, did that for 10 years. I had my own practice, over 300 clients, a staff of five, and it was very successful. I had a partner as well. And then I just couldn't see myself doing tax work the rest of my life. So I wanted to try something different. And that's when I went into the corporate world, climbed the corporate ladder. That's traditional track that many of us do. It was rewarding. I learned a lot of great experiences all the way from small business owners to the large corporations, the multi-million, billion-dollar corporations. And I think I've just come back full circle in a sense. I want to work with the small business owners. When I reflected back on my career, I noticed that where I had the most enjoyment and fulfillment was working with the smaller companies and helping them achieve their goals and be successful. And I wanted to go back to that.
So that was really the why. So many people's, their why starts with burnout, frustration, simply being ready for more. You've been full circle. How did that shape the kind of business you wanted to create?
I feel because of all of my experience, I have a wealth of variety, if you will, of experience, tax, audit, global perspective on businesses that I can use in helping the small business owners. So even though I'm helping them with their manage their finances and increase their profits and grow their business cash flow, I'm helping them with those measures. But in the back of my mind, I always have a tax perspective, an audit perspective, a business strategy perspective, which I think is a global, I guess, a global business view on any business that I pick up. And so all of my past experiences just come together for the benefit of these small business owners.
So, with the creation of and the launching of HireUp CFO Services, what do you think felt like the biggest unknown to you? And what did you learn by diving in anyway? Just going ahead and going in, or did you feel like, wow, I got this. I got the base of information that's needed all the way around, and I'm ready, and I know how I want to live my life?
Yeah, so what made this one different is how I was starting this one, as opposed to the first time I went into business for myself, I went into a partnership with, so the clientele was already there. We already had the clients he did. I split the partnership with him and took over the corporate business side of the taxes. He did the individual side of taxes. This time it's totally different because I started from scratch. I had no clients, and actually I moved to a new area where I knew nobody. And so I literally started from scratch. All the way from building relationships, getting out there, talking to people, the typical trajectory that most people take when they're trying to promote their business or get the word out, if you will, promote themselves. And so I did all of that, and that's what made this one different and challenging to me. It was a new challenge. The work I do, the people I work with, I've got that. I can do that. I'm confident in that. The new challenge was actually getting my own clients. It's a relationship building process. And I had to, like I said, just had to get out there, meet people, talk to people. And I learned along the way that a lot of this wasn't well known or received by the small business owners for the simple fact that most of them don't know what a CFO is or what they do or how they can help them. They don't even know that they need one. And every business needs a CFO, a financial
Everyone.
leader, yes, of their business for sure. And so I've learned that in getting out and talking to people, it's not selling. It's not selling what I do. It's educating. A lot of it's educating these people. Here's what I do. Here's how it can help your business, and let me show you. So a lot of times I offer free financial assessments so that I can show them how I work, how I can help them, and how I can help them grow their business and have a successful business. And the reason I wanted to do this is because I know, like everybody else, I'm self-employed as well. I'm a proprietor. I'm self-employed as well. I have a small business just like everybody else. And I like to use my business as an example for other clients, for business owners, right? Here's how I do it. Here's how you can do it. Let me show you. And so that's one reason I do that financial assessment, because I like to show them what I see in their business. I can show you what's working and what's not working in your business. I can show you what to do about it, tell you what to do about it, how to fix it. I can point out red flags, opportunities, and I can also show them, look, here's what I can do to help you grow your business faster, reach whatever goals you are trying to obtain, both personal and business. And usually once I can show them, then they usually like what they see. They want to continue. But for me, it's more about, I feel like I have a wealth of knowledge and experience, and I have something to offer these people, and I want to help them.
I think that's a great motivation, definitely. And a lot of entrepreneurs, I deal with a lot of speakers, authors, and coaches, and my favorite group, entrepreneurs, who have so much courage to go out there and try their idea, take a risk, and they feel like I can build a bit better mousetrap. I really can do this. But then they get out there on their own. And I think a lot of people think, I'll hire a CFO when I'm big. You only do that when you get really big. But if you hire a fractional CFO, that really can play in the earlier growth stages, like you've explained. But can they afford it? So many people don't have a lot of money. So when they're starting out, because their money's going out in unexpected ways, tech they didn't expect to buy, people that they had to bring in because They had no idea that you could not do everything all on your own. And for sure, you can't do everything well. You need to have people as part of your team. But again, the money starts rolling out before the money's rolling in a lot of times. Is it affordable?
That's exactly right. You said so much in that that one segment there. A lot of things I speak to. Yes, I don't believe in. I think starting out as a do-it-yourselfer is fine. To learn about all the aspects of your business, especially if you didn't know about them to begin with. Most business owners go into business because they have a hot product or they're good at what they do. And that's what they want to do. They don't think about all the other aspects of their business, bookkeeping, tax prep, insurance, marketing, all these other areas of their business that they don't think about that when they go in. Yes, the money does roll out the door before it starts coming in, which is something every business owner should plan for sure. I think what I was going to say was I came from the corporate world, big corporations. And if you think about a big corporation, there's not one person doing it all themselves. It's a team of people. It's a team of experts in certain areas. You have a CEO, chief executive officer. You have a CMO, chief marketing officer, CFO, chief financial officer. You have all of these leaders in these areas of the business that run that business. And I like to challenge small business owners, look, think like the big guys. How do they do it? There's not one person doing it all themselves. Surround yourselves with those experts, those resources. That's how the small business owner can get ahead quicker and be profitable, have a sustainable growing business. And the way I like to say it is, yes, it's affordable and yes, you can do it. That's the whole purpose of a fractional CFO. And so let me just explain the basics there. Fractional just means part-time. So it's part-time at a part-time cost. Basically, the CFO is the chief financial officer, and here's how I make it affordable. So it's value-based pricing. Value-based meaning I add value to your business, and I usually use the financial assessment on their business to show them. For example, I can show them, look, I can add the $300,000 to your bank balance by the end of the year in a 12-month period. And here's how I'm going to do it. I'll show them. Here's how we'll do it. And I take 10% of that. You keep 90%. So it's a no-brainer. And what do you have to lose? Absolutely nothing. I don't.
Exactly.
Yes. I don't do contracts or it's a service. I do a monthly service for these clients to make sure I monitor, track their profits and cash flow, make sure they're staying on track to hit that goal and that target. You know, that I told them, and they pay me a monthly fee, that 10% as we go along, and I make sure that they hit that. Now it is a team effort, right? There's actionable action items that go along with that. We have objectives and we have actions, and it takes two. I'm going to tell you exactly what you need to do for us to hit that target, but you have to do your part too.
What do you think is actually the biggest mindset shift for these people, these entrepreneurs, that they need to make to go from surviving to...
Exactly. I think a lot of it is they just don't know. Like I said, they go into business because they've got a great idea, a great service or product, and usually they do. They just don't know like all the aspects of running a business, that there's a lot more to it than what most people realize. And they don't know or don't think about how do the big corporations do it? How did they get there? They didn't start out big. They didn't start out that size. So I think they have to learn. They have to have a mindset shift, right? A different perspective. They have to understand it takes a team. It can be affordable. I've actually added or brought in a few colleagues of mine that I used to work with. One of them is a COO, chief operations officer, and one of them is a CSO, chief sales officer, that I've worked with in the past. And they are coming in with me, and we're now starting up a new business, fractional C-suite service. Yeah, so it's a fractional service in different areas of your business, and you can do like a la carte, like if you just need marketing or you need operations, it's still a fractional service at a fractional cost. So you can afford it. It's built into the financial plan of the business.
It's brilliant. It should be built into the financial plan of the business. And you talk about financial insanity, doing the same thing over and over again and expecting cash to magically show up. What are the warning signs that a business is stuck in that pattern?
I think I do pick up clients that will tell me, for example, I picked up a doctor here locally. He's got his own practice. He's been in business for 10 years now. And he came to me from a referral from a commercial lender I work with. And he told me, he said, "Okay, I give up." He said, "I went to optometry school. I learned how to be an optometrist, but they didn't teach us anything about business. And it's now dawned on me, even though I've learned how to do my bookkeeping, I can do my QuickBooks, whatever, even though I spend way too much time doing it. I haven't made a profit in 10 years."
Oh,
And yes, and he says, "I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know what I'm doing right, what I'm doing wrong. I don't know what to change." And it's now dawned on me, I've been doing the same thing year after year, over and over for 10 years. And it just now dawned on me, okay, I need to do something different. And so it's breaking that cycle of just keep going, keep pushing. And a lot of times people think, "Oh, I just need to increase sales." They go out and increase sales, but it's like you said, they come back and they're like, "Where did all the money go?" And they repeat that process every year. And to me, that is the definition of insanity, right? Because
it
nothing
is.
changes
Nothing
and
changes.
you have to make a decision to do something different. Try something different.
What's your process? Let's say you got a client that says, I'm stuck. I don't know why, but I'm stuck. I've been doing the same thing for 10 years. What's your process for helping them uncover the financial blind spots they're missing?
The doctor I was just talking about, he's a perfect example. He basically came to me that he's my favorite type of client to help because they realize they do need help. They want the help. Those are the best clients. And those are the ones I really love to help. So he's here it is. He just gave it all to me. I look at 3 years back financials, do a financial assessment, have a meeting with them, and I show them, "All right, this is good. This is not. This is working. This is not." Very simply. And here's what we can do to fix this. There's basically 16 drivers that drive your cash flow. I focus on cash flow because, and actually creating a consistent positive cash flow. Because if you can do that in your business, you take care of any profit issues, you take care of revenue issues, whatever the underlying issues are, they're all built into the formula of managing cash flow. And so by focusing on cash flow, you're addressing other areas in your business that need attention. I focus in on the top three drivers, if you will, that have the biggest impact on their cash flow, and I point those out to these.
You mean in each business, or this is universal, these top three drivers?
Oh, the 16 drivers cash flow is universal. That's just basic accounting or finance theory. Top three will depend on the business and on the industry, typically. A lot of people, for example, think revenue is their weakness or that's the cause of their cash flow problems or whatever. A lot of times it's not the revenue, it's gross profit. They may have great sales and they're bringing in money, but it's costing too much to bring in those revenues. And so they're missing out on the gross profit. They need to focus on their cost of the sale. So a lot of times it's knowing all of those 16 drivers and how they impact, how they work together. It's like a machine. It's like a well-oiled machine with different parts. So you can think of them as different parts. They all work together. There's certain parts that impact the bottom line and your cash flow more than others, depending on your financial situation. And that's the financial assessment that I do. So we identify the top three drivers, if you will, that have the biggest impact on their numbers. And we set some targets for the year on correcting those. And then we come up with some objectives. So I work with the client to help them create some objectives to help them reach those targets. And then we come up with some action items based on these targets and goals that we're setting for these specific three top three impacts. And then we track and monitor those every month on a monthly basis based on performance. I meet with all my clients at least once a month and we go over these. And if I can show them you're on track here with this one target or this one impact, we're on target here. This one's off. We need to talk about this one. How can we tweak it to get it back on track? So we go one by one. I focus on top three just so it's not overwhelming for the business owner because they're busy, right, running their business. And usually the top three will have a huge impact on the bottom line and their cash flow.
Oh, and are you helping them do their taxes every year?
I don't do tax work anymore.
Gave that part up, huh? Not so
Yes,
funny.
I did. I don't. I so that's part of what I offer and what I do. I learned in picking up these small business clients. They usually come in and their immediate need is I need help with my taxes. I need help with my bookkeeping. It's a mess. I need to get it in order, cleaned up, caught up, whatever. So I have established some business relationships with outside CPAs that do tax work, with bookkeepers that do bookkeeping, commercial lenders that do commercial lending, whatever business sources or resources that are out there, I have those in my pocket, if you will. They're my business partners. And so whatever the need is, when the client initially comes in, we satisfy that need, we take care of that need. I have resources to help them.
I was going to say, you're great at leveraging experts and resources, and that will accelerate growth. It absolutely will. It's funny. I say this too to people. I love coaching people, helping them find and land the right stages and position themselves to be successful in their business in the ways that I do. And I look at this, and sometimes people say, a lot of times I hear out there, they say, I'll just get the book. I'll just read the book. And I think, you got that kind of time? Because if you're an entrepreneur, that you do. And you really can't do it all well and have a life and enjoy yourself. So find the people that can help you in the areas that you're weak in. And there's not an athlete, no, there's not a successful athlete on this planet that doesn't have or hasn't benefited from having a coach. They might be exceptional at whatever sport they do, but the truth is, if you hire the right coach, you're going to exponentially grow. So is it worth the money? Oh my gosh, if it saves you the mistakes that we have all made, if it saves you that, it was worth it. It will, and now you're educated. Now you have someone watching your back. And at whatever point you think you want to take that over. But I think the other realization is often once you get it off your plate, those things you hate or you do not want to do, it's like a gift you gave yourself.
That's right.
Do that anyway.
I like to use my business as an example always. So when I started this one, I thought I can do my own social media marketing. That stuff's easy, right? It's just LinkedIn and Facebook and whatever. I can do that. I absolutely hate it. Like,
Right.
I do not want to do that. It is the biggest time suck on the face of the earth. And I have somebody that does all that for me because she actually schedules all my podcasts. She does everything. And it saves me so much time.
Good.
And
A great equalizer now. Listen, it's not all about money. It does it save you time? Does it allow you to have a life? And does it allow you to avoid the things you can't stand doing? I agree with you. You have to do social media now. It's unavoidable. You have to be in the game or you will not exist. However, it doesn't mean you can't get help with doing it so that it is not the time suck that it is. And that is exactly how I look at it. It's critical. It's non-negotiable, but geez, let somebody else do it. It's just us.
So it's the same thing with managing your finances. A lot of people don't like the financial aspect of their business. They don't want to spend time on that. And even if you think you can learn how to do your QuickBooks or file your own tax return, whatever, is it really worth the time that you took to learn all of that and then to do it every month? Like this doctor I have, he says, I don't want to do this anymore. I don't want to spend my weekends trying
Right.
to get my books in order and everything ready for the CPA at the end of the year to file my taxes. I just want it done. And he's got two kids playing baseball. He wants to spend the time with them to play baseball, and he should. And it's well worth it for him to outsource and have somebody else do that.
Absolutely. And nobody gets to their deathbed and says, boy, I wish I worked another day. You're on to the ball game. But for sure, I know what they don't say is, boy, I wish I'd spent more time doing that activity that I absolutely loathe.
Exactly.
Okay, so now let me take us a little bit of a left turn here because as you started your own business and got out there on your own, Public speaking became an avenue for you to grow your business. What was that experience like for you?
It was extremely scary. I've always had this huge stage fright. I even tried to go back into my childhood to find where did it come from? Why do I have this? And while I can maybe isolate a few possibilities, I really don't know. What I do know is I got over it. I got over it. And when I look over the last 2 years, I have gone from being scared to speak in front of any group of people, anywhere. It didn't matter if it was at work, if it was anywhere, school, you name it. Like, I had a huge fear of speaking in front of people. Now, I thought, okay, so I learned when I went in, when I started this practice, I was going to have to get out there and speak to people. There's just no way around it. It's
Yeah.
going to take some education. It's going to take relationship building. I'm going to have to talk about this. How can I do this? And so I thought, okay, is there any type of speaking I'm good at or that I enjoy or I'm comfortable with? And then that dawned on me, a job interview. I have always been able to nail a job interview. Never been nervous, scared, or anything when I go to job interviews. And I usually walk out getting the job that I wanted because I am 100% confident when I go in, and it's a one-on-one conversation, right? So I thought, podcasting is similar to job interviews. I'm going to start with that. So I started podcasting, and then you get to speak with people who enjoy talking about what things that you like to talk about, which makes it easy, right? And
Yeah.
so I started doing that, and then I started scheduling one-on-one meetings with local business owners, service providers, like commercial lenders, insurance agents, any kind of type of service that helps businesses, bookkeepers, CPAs, marketing, direct marketing, and started having one-on-one conversations with them. How can I help them with their business, with what I'm doing? And how can they help me? I went and had those conversations, so that's more speaking. And then I joined some organizations, and I learned just speaking up and announcing or doing the elevator 2-minute pitch, whatever, doesn't work. And I thought, how can I leverage being in groups and associations? Oh, you're going to have to get up and speak in front of them and tell them who you are, make a presence. Here's what I do. Here's how I can help you. It's different. It's not bookkeeping. It's not tax work. I help you for the future. Grow your business for the future. Here's how I can help you. And that right there was the scariest thing in my mind. I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm going to have to do this, right? I'm going to have to do this. So then I learned there's a few things that I got along the way that helped me. And like one of them, this is my first speaking engagement that I did in front of 100 people at an association. I was invited to just be the vendor spotlight of the week. Get up and talk for about 10 minutes because I had something there that everybody in that audience could benefit from. And the association leaders asked me if I wanted to. And I said, sure. I was scared to death. I did it. And it just so happened the day before I was watching young Sheldon, and he had to get up and do his valedictorian speech in front of the school.
Yeah.
And somebody had told him, just pick a person in the audience and talk to that one person. And so I did that. And all of a sudden, that audience became one person to me. And it just flowed. There was no fear. There was no. Usually, when I speak, I feel like my voice is uncontrollably shaking and I can't control it. I didn't have that. My heart wasn't racing. It just all disappeared. And like I just did it. And I found out afterwards that a lot of people actually enjoyed listening to me and what I had to say. And the presentation was actually good. And I also learned too that these are just little tidbits and things that I picked up along the way that helped me mentally prepare when I speak in front of people. But the other thing I learned that erases the fear factor is I'm focused on what can I do or say that's really going to help these people that's listening to me? What can I offer them or really tell them that's going to make an impact, be useful when they leave? So I get my mind set on helping them, and it takes my mind off of me and what I'm saying and what I'm doing.
That is perfect. That is exactly what I tell people as well, is that it's not about you. So don't take all that heat. If you go
Thank
to about what it is that you do for a living, what it is that you're bringing to the world. Just talk about it, because that audience is for you. Most of the people in that audience do not want to be you. They do not want to be on stage. And therefore, they're appreciative of somebody who's willing to step up to the plate and do it. So from the get-go, they're for you. And you can only lose them if you don't, if you're not sincere and authentic, and if you don't know your subject matter. So really, the easiest thing for people who are afraid is just know your subject matter and then get up there as if you're having a conversation.
Yes.
Not as if you're giving a speech, not wrap presentation on it, wrap that, because that sounds like too much pressure. Get up there and talk about what you know will be helpful to someone. And what is the problem that you solve? Because you're there to help them.
That's
and
right.
That helps you work out the willies.
Yes. And I've also learned it's not about, because I started out like trying to memorize things and practice things. And I learned that, no, that doesn't work. Because when I get in front of people, and if I do have if I do get overcome with fear, the first thing that goes is my memory. I'm not going to remember what I was been practicing to talk about. But if I get up there and I just talk, I just tell relatable stories. So I tell stories about my business, about me, about how I made it or got to where I'm got over the fear factor or started my own business. I talk about the challenges that I've gone through and how, and they're relatable to these other business owners. Because look, I'm in the same boat you're in. I do know how to make a successful business financially. And I can definitely share that with you. So I speak from my own experiences. I like to use my business as an example. And I focus on what can I say and what can I do that's actually going to help them.
That's
and then it just...
Way. I'm so glad you're sharing this message, because someone may have perceived that you're on the quieter side and that you might have been really nervous about it. You know your stuff. And so the more you do it, the more comfortable you get. It really is about practice makes, I don't want to say perfect, but makes you more comfortable.
It does. I have noticed the more I talk to people, and the more I'm around people and I am talking, whether it's podcast, one-on-one, it doesn't matter. It does get easier. It's just, it becomes secondhand after a while. And the other thing I also learned was when I get up and talk in front of a group, the first thing I like to do is, you need a little icebreaker. If you can get a little icebreaker, it helps. So I get up and people usually don't remember me. They don't remember the name of my business or what I do. 9 times out of 10, what they always remember is my last name. So I like to start off with a story about my last name, which is Wagon Seller. And so I tell people my name, then I tell them, yes, Wagon Seller. I don't sell wagons. I'm not up here because I sell wagons. But there was somebody in our family back in the day from Germany that did sell wagons. And obviously they were so good at it, we got named for it. And usually when I start off with that, it kind of breaks the ice and it gets their attention, right? It gives me relief. It's something relatable. And usually what happens if I ever see anybody again after doing that, oh, you're the Wagon Seller.
Brilliant. You've made your name. You've connected it to a story that will allow people to hold on to it. Frankly, that's really good marketing. That's really good branding. So good for you.
I think it's just lucky I had that last name, I guess.
You are so right. You are so right. Let me ask you, Teresa, 10 years from now, what do you hope they say about the impact you've made? What's your legacy that you're moving towards and working on?
Yeah, that I truly, really cared about people in their businesses. A lot of these businesses, and I tell this when I'm speaking in front of people, these small business owners, they have families that depend on the business, right? The success of the business. There's so many businesses that failed nowadays. What is it, 50% and every 5 years, within 5 years, and 80% of those fail because they run out of money. I can fix that. I can help you with that so you don't run out of money. But, and if you have payroll, you've got other families depending on your business. There's a lot depending on your business, and that alone can be stressful and overwhelming to these business owners. I want to help relieve that stress. Let me take that financial burden off your shoulders. Let me carry that load. Much easier for me to do it. It's well worth the cost to you, and you will definitely get value from it. You mentioned all these resources that you bring in and it's worth the cost. There should always be a return on investment for any investment you make, for anything you pay anybody. They should be able to show you the value of what they're giving you, and you should be able to see it. You should have a return on that investment.
And with that said, I think that pretty much guarantees there's some conversations coming your way that I think are going to be very beneficial to new potential clients. And if anything, you're going to walk away with a new perspective about your finances, and that is so worth the call. So, Teresa, I want to thank you so much for cutting through the noise and really getting to it. I love it that we covered not only what you do and how important you are to the business, but to the value and the benefit and overcoming the fear of public speaking. It's fantastic. You didn't sugarcoat a thing. It's exactly what business owners need. And you took what people most avoid talking about, money, cash flow, and what's actually going on under the hood. And you made it make sense. So that's a gift. And I'm just so glad you brought it here.
Thank you so much, and I greatly enjoyed visiting with you. And like I said, I love listening to this show. There's
Oh, well, thank
always,
you.
yes, there's always great speakers, and I always walk away with something, learning something new every time.
I love hearing that. That means more to me than I can tell you because I walk away too with the same experience of my guests. I research them, I'm excited to meet them, but honestly, I have been given the best interviews from people who are making a difference in the world. Yes, they're using speaking, but they have true value. They're not kidding around. They're making a difference. So it's just a joy. I love that you gave us so many good takeaways right off the bat. Just because you're bringing in revenue doesn't mean your business is financially healthy. Quit doing the same crazy over and over again and get help. And you don't need to suffer through this solo. You can bring in the right person that can make a difference between being staying stuck and scaling up. And a fractional CFO might be just what you need to not only get it all cleared up and get clear on your numbers so you can create some clear decisions, but you can do it fractionally. You don't have to go out on a limb in that area that you really don't know that much about. So I think Teresa is awesome. She's got a great offer. So check out hireupcfoservices.com and get her free cash flow spreadsheet from the Learning Center. It's at hireupforcfoservices.com/learning center. It's practical, it's simple, and it's built to give you instant visibility into your business finances. Really? That's unavoidable. Really? That's non-negotiable. Look now while you can do something about it, or look later, but it's expensive not to deal with it. So Teresa's really open to having a conversation, and if it makes sense, but you'll at least to get with her, but at least you'll have another way to look at your business that you might not have thought of. Oh, Teresa, she's proof. She's actual proof that public speaking isn't just about sharing ideas, it's about giving people tools that actually shift their results. And by her getting on stage and behind the mic, she's not just growing her business, she's giving other business owners a way forward. That's what we call impact. So, Teresa, thank you again. You really brought the fire to this one today. And for those of you listening, if this conversation sparked something, do us a favor. Please share the information. Please download it. Please share it. Please get it out there because it helps us reach more people who are ready to turn their message into momentum. We always want to hear what clicked for you. So drop us a comment or send a DM or tag us because we love to hear what you think about this. I love hearing that Teresa listens to the show and gets something out of it. And whenever I hear that from our guests, it tickles me silly. But listen, here's the truth. Public speaking, it can shift your business in ways no funnel or hack ever could. It builds trust, it positions you as an expert, and it gets your voice in front of the people who need to hear it. That's what this show's all about. So with that said, thank you, Teresa, and thanks to everybody for being here. And as always, I look forward to our next conversation. We'll see you next time.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Six Figure Speaker Spotlight. We hope you enjoyed this deep dive once again into the remarkable stories and insights of our incredible guests. Their experiences and hard-earned, time-tested wisdom are not just meant to inspire you, but to provide you with actionable steps to take on your own path to success. Remember, you have a story to tell, and your voice has the power to transform your business and make lasting impact. And that's what it's all about. If you found value in today's episode, let us know. And I hope you'll take a moment and subscribe to The Spotlight wherever you listen to your podcasts so you never miss a thought-provoking or idea-producing conversation. I'm Kelly O'Hara, and I can't wait to see you back here for the next episode of the Six Figure Speaker Spotlight.